Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. In this message, I want to talk about what the main ministry occupation was of Christ and His apostles, and compare it to what we see today that passes as Christian. You know, Jeremiah 6:27 says, "I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know or discern and try or test their way." That is what the body of Christ, the remnant body of Christ, is to be doing. We are to be looking through the lens of the Holy Scriptures given to us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so that we can try or test the way of the modern church. Today we have a less than neutered version of Christ's Great Commission command, of which I'm going to give you some examples in a moment. It's not even a faint resemblance of what Christ and His apostles were doing and what He mandated for the church to be doing until His return. In fact, Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world before His return, Matthew 24:14, and that is transpiring today through the true remnant body of Christ, as compared to that which claims to be of God but yet does not have the fruits to evidence that it truly is of God. If you're not obeying the Word of God, my friend, you are not of God. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven." And so this faint resemblance of a Great Commission, in fact, we don't even hear the words Great Commission anymore. Most people don't even know what it is. And what it is given to us at the end of each of the four Gospels, some of which we're going to look at in a minute. But this is all clearly the fulfillment of the great falling away from the faith foretold in the Scriptures that we would see in the last days. But yet again, the remnant is to do what? Earnestly contend for the faith, Jude verse 3, once delivered to the saints. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence," Jude writes, "to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for Me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." See, that's an unchanging declaration of the faith of the gospel given to us on the pages of Holy Scriptures. And here's why we are to earnestly contend for this faith once delivered to the saints. Verse 4, Jude, "For there are certain men crept in unawares," they're in our midst, posing as ministers of the gospel, "who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men," notice they're ungodly men, "turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness," or a license for sin, "and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." That's Jude chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. So preaching and teaching the gospel of repentance is the only way that men can be saved. They could be made free from sin, cleansed and washed of all their sin, and refreshed. Repentance always precedes refreshing. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, "Repent ye therefore," Peter preached, "and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Notice in the end of the book of Luke, Jesus giving the Great Commission command, Luke, the Gospel of Luke's rendition of it, notice
Luke 24:47, and Jesus said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice, Jesus commanded, he mandated that repentance and remission of sins. What happens when somebody repents? Well, all of their sins are remitted. Isn't that a blessing? In fact, you can't have your sins remitted or washed away, blotted out, unless or until you repent. And at that point, it's as if they didn't even exist. Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud all your sins and transgressions. Blotting out, remitting, means completely removing. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, let me ask you, friend, when is the last time you heard a message on repentance or a message calling people to repent? Do you realize that this is the very first word and command of the original gospel of the kingdom of Christ? John the Baptist called men to repent in Matthew 3:2. We see John the Baptist says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The next time we see it is in the mouth of the Lord Jesus, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then we see here in Luke 24:47, Jesus commanding his followers to go and to preach repentance. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except a man repent, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So repentance is an absolute imperative, though it's rarely heard today because it looks like many, or if not most, of the corrupted fake Bibles that so many use today, because they're walking in darkness, they're apostate, they don't even have the word, the command to repent. It's time to get back to the King James Bible, beloved. In fact, if you're not using the King James Bible, you're behind the curve, because there's a whole generation of thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of Christians that speak in the English tongue that have left and departed from these fake Bibles and are now rooted and grounded in the real and preserved Word of God, the King James Bible. Notice Acts 2:38, and this is the day of Pentecost. Then Peter said unto them, what's the first word? Repent. See, the first word of the gospel out of the beloved John the Baptist, out of the mouth of Jesus, and now we see out of the Apostle Peter on the day that the church was born, on Pentecost, what is the first word he said? Notice, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the first word out of the mouth of Peter on the day of Pentecost, when the church was born, is what? Repent. This has always been, according to the record of the original gospel, the first divine command to sinners is to repent. And what happens when you repent? You receive the remission of sins. That's Acts 2:38. And as we were mentioning earlier, Acts 3:19, the only way to receive refreshing, for any man to receive refreshing, is to be cleansed from his sins. And how does that happen? That happens when we repent. Notice, repent ye therefore, Acts 3:19, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know, men cannot be refreshed until they're forgiven of their sins, and they can't be forgiven of their sins until they repent. So by definition, the band-aid preaching of today, if you will, has never dealt with the root of the issue. That means the issue will never go away. And man's core issue is what? His core dilemma is what? Sin. And the only way sin is forgiven is when a man repents. Nothing less than repentance from God's people and obedience to his Great Commission command also is going to change this nation. So many people pour untold, the professing church in America has poured untold millions upon millions of dollars into that which is not the cure to the dilemma of fallen America. America. The only way that America is going to be changed is when God's remnant people turn from their own wicked ways in true repentance, in humbling themselves before God and obeying Him by taking up the original gospel mandate of the Great Commission of Christ, for which He is holding us 100% responsible, and beginning to preach the gospel. You know, somebody might say, wait a minute, repent. How do we call men to repent? Well, it's not always a long, bony finger. It should never be actually coming out of a self-righteous disposition, but of great joy to introduce people to the gospel truth that the only way they can be happy is to be holy, and the only way they can be holy is to repent, to stop their lives, admit to God they are a sinner, that they have sinned against Him, confess their sins, and receive Christ, surrender in repentance. And then, and only then, are they going to be refreshed. They're going to be washed and forgiven of all their sins. And now, having the Holy Spirit in them, they are going to be able to rejoice in Christ Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. This is the only way men can be made right, is to be made right with God. And this so great salvation is appropriated by the individual by repentance and faith in Christ. You know, can anyone see why there is no recovering of America until we have the preaching of repentance? How long shall we utterly waste God's time, resources, and money, for whom we shall give account? 2 Chronicles 7:14 has been openly rejected by the professing church in America. American Christians declare, as did apostate Israel, give us a king, quote unquote, 1 Samuel 8 verse 6, I believe it is. We don't want the Lord, though. We want an unsaved sinner to rescue us named Donald Trump, who is not even saved. He's never professed that Jesus Christ has washed him from his sins, that he's a new creature in Christ, that he is genuinely born again. In no way does he manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit as a new creature in Christ. I'm not even saying this to condemn him so much as to shine a light on the idolatry and the rebellion of that which calls itself Christian and the church in America. And if anyone gets upset that I would dare to say this, it seems to only confirm the truth of what has been stated. So many Americans, as is evidenced in how they pour out their wallets and the contents of their wallets to save America, yet why do we want to save America? So that we can go back to our lukewarm, hellbound ways? Is that why we want to save America? What's the reason why? Why is there the rebellion of refusing to truly ourselves repent and carry out the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ by calling men also to repent? And by the way, I could care less what you think of me. I care what God thinks of me. Isaiah 51, verse 7, the Holy Lord God of Israel spoke to His servant Isaiah, and He said, "Hearken unto me, you look to me, son, ye that know righteousness." That's all of the true remnant of body of Christ, a very small residue among all those who confess to know Christ. "Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law," or my instructions, my word. "Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revelings." Verse 12, Isaiah 51, "I, even I, am He that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest thou the Lord thy Maker, that hast stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor?" In other words, you fear me and obey me, and I will take care of you and protect you. No weapon formed against you will prosper, but every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. So we were made for this kingdom of conflict. We were born again and made new creatures, and we endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Notice, we all love to hear Ben Shapiro, people like Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk, and their abilities to overthrow arguments, yet they are leading no one to Jesus. Candace Owens is a Catholic. Ben Shapiro is not a born-again Christian. Charlie Kirk claims to be, but he's not preaching the original gospel. He's not calling men to repent. Therefore, funding these operations is absolutely a waste, 100%, for which God is not going to reward anyone who does such, because it's not a carrying out of his unchanging, non-negotiable, original gospel mandate, the Great Commission, that we go forth and we preach repentance among the nation. There is no salvation, there is no regeneration without repentance. There is no salvation without regeneration. Regeneration, being born again, those are synonymous terms, only comes to those who stop their life dead in their tracks, convicted by the Holy Spirit and the sword of the Spirit of the law of God, that we have all sinned and violated the law of God and we're all guilty and we must repent. You see, that eliminates this easy believism we see peddled today. If somebody says, well, Paul didn't preach repentance, he sure did. Acts 20, verse 21, Paul speaks of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's the greatest love shown out of the heart of God through the believer to lead somebody to repent. But first, they got to realize that they're sinners. You've got to take them through the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and show them, as is the case for all of us, that we have all violated the law of a holy God and we're 100% guilty. And the good news is that if we have the breath of life, if we're still breathing on the surface of the earth, that we can repent and be forgiven. We can settle out of court, if you will. We can admit that we're dead wrong, we're sinful in the eyes of a holy God, and receive the forgiveness of God through the blood of a lamb, Jesus. As we repent, we return, we turn to God in admission of our sin and receive Christ. Amen. That's what the Great Commission is all about, saints, is offering the greatest gift that's ever been given, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He paid a debt he did not owe. We owe a debt we cannot pay. He was the just dying for the unjust. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He was that sin sacrifice that God gave. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, that is, if we're doing things his way and preaching repentance, the Great Commission. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him, Christ, to be sin, or the sin sacrifice for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. And to get into Christ, you must repent. Quote, you know, I'm saying these things and bringing out these examples because you have so many professing Christians who support these people who are not preaching the original gospel of Christ. And I would contend that Charlie Kirk is not preaching repentance himself. He's answering questions, but is that what Jesus came to do? Answer questions? Is that what Jesus sent his apostles to do?
No. We must beware of sacrificing the authentic gospel mission Jesus gave us for a cheap substitute. I'm reminded of how God told the people of Israel, or of them, he said through Jeremiah 6:14, they, that is the false teachers of that day, healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there was or is no peace. So what is he saying by declaring that and citing that the false leaders had healed the daughter of my people slightly? What is the illustration God is giving here? So where there needs to be a cleaning out of the womb, there is the application of a band-aid over a dirty wound, and yet we know that repentance is what brings the cleansing of God so that the wound can be healed, made whole, and do what's right in his holy eyes. And so preaching some sacrificial trite message about what's right and wrong is no replacement for the preaching of the original gospel of Jesus Christ, which begins with the divine command to repent. Paul stated and declared that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, Romans 1:16. So the Lord says that men must repent. God commanded all men everywhere to repent, Acts chapter 20, verse 21. And notice it wasn't Paul calling men to repent so much as he was saying that it is God that commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
God's people are being called to be obedient to his great commission command,
to let them know that God himself commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. Romans 3 declares, all men under sin, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Also, there is none good, no, not one. And so we're all in need of repentance to appropriate the salvation of God in Christ.
Jesus and his holy apostles never went around, set up clinics, and answered questions. They simply obeyed the Lord and preached his gospel so that people could be convicted of their sin and saved into the glorious kingdom of Christ. Now that is the Father's business for which Jesus said that he came to fulfill and sent us to fulfill. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And the Father's business is to show men their sin through the law and call them to repent so that they can be forgiven and washed of all their sins and their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've done no one any good until we have preached repentance and called them to repent and receive Christ and seen men do this. This is that gospel that has to be and is being preached in all the world before the soon return of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24:14.
John chapter 20 verse 21, Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.
And what did Jesus do to fulfill the Father's business? He began by preaching, just as John the Baptist did, that men should and must repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So if John the Baptist preached repentance, if Jesus preached repentance, if Peter preached repentance, if Paul preached repentance, if all the apostles of Christ preached repentance, what does that say of those who are not preaching repentance? Very clearly, they are preaching another gospel with the empowerment of another spirit, demons, and it's another Jesus. Ask yourself, when is the last time your favorite preacher or your pastor preached repentance? Notice Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and the bride, the true bride of Christ, say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. And when one repents, he will take that water of life into himself. God will pour it into him, and times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. They can't come until there is repentance. The first word of the original gospel is to repent, and any man not preaching repentance who claims to be representing Christ is an absolute fraud who is accursed and preaching another gospel. Galatians 1 verses 6 through 9.
Let me pause right here to say this. I believe many of you can also attest to the same results when you're ministering the Word of God, that as you're preaching that men have sinned and showing them in the Bible where they have committed sin against God and calling them or telling them that God commands them to repent, and when those people stop their life and surrender to Christ in repentance and putting their faith in Christ, the fruit of it is that you see a changed life, somebody who is immediately changed and remains in Christ. You know, Jesus spoke about fruit and fruit that remains. John chapter 15 verse 16, Jesus said, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And that's what's going to happen when you are preaching the original gospel, beginning with the command of God to repent. You're going to see people that are going to come to the Lord and surrender in repentance, and their lives are going to be, they're going to be born again, regenerated, and their lives are going to be changed from that moment
moment forward, they're going to be new creatures in Christ. Old things will have passed away and all things have become new. And this is in contrast with the easy believism gospel that has been peddled by the false teachers for so many decades. And that's why you have so many people doing the things we're saying now. They're trying to prop up something that's based on morality, but it's not the gospel. You know, they're propping up things that have no reconciliation with Holy Scripture. Again, we don't see Jesus and the apostles going out to set up clinics where people can come and ask questions. No, he sent his disciples out just as he went, and he went out to preach the gospel, to teach and preach the word of God. And that's exactly how he sent his apostles out in the early days, beginning in verse 1, Matthew 10 is a good place to take a look. Now, the message of all of Scripture is that we must do things God's way and no other way. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve chose to do things their way. Cain and Abel were a contrast between the counterfeit and the authentic. Cain did things his own way. Abel did things God's way. And we must do things exactly as God has said. Forth and prescribed in his word, beloved. Keep in mind that God is only going to bless those who do things his way. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 7. It's also 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23 speaks of how, in contrast with David, a man after God's own heart, Saul did things his own way. He did them in a way that was not what God had commanded. Notice, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. When we don't obey God, he will demote us and replace us, just like he did in the case of Saul being replaced by one much more noble man than he chose to be, and that would be the beloved David, a man after the heart of God, Acts 13:22. Now, let's think about how this generation of preachers, so-called preachers, has betrayed God and their fellow man. They will spend endless time answering questions, inviting people to church, but yet they won't call men to repent. They will set up gatherings to answer questions like Paul did. He answered some questions on Mars Hill. That may be the most profound example of anyone answering questions, although Jesus answered questions also. But Paul preached repentance. But yet today we have people setting up clinics in colleges and on college campuses, etc., and they're answering questions, but they're not calling men to repent. On Mars Hill, Paul said that men are to repent. He preached the gospel. He said, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. So in that situation where Paul didn't arrange it, but it's just so happened that it was a discussion with the New Agers of his day, but what we see there is Paul said that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, this is something we're not hearing the modern day, I guess we can call them morality teachers, for lack of a better term, doing. They're not calling men to repent. So they're not preaching in accordance with the record of Scripture, the original gospel, which identifies the core issue of man, the core dilemma of man, as being sin. And the only way that God is going to redeem and forgive any individual sinner is if they repent. That's something we don't see these days. And I would call you as a brother in Christ and charge you not to promote any ministry or support it or bid Godspeed to it, lest you be partaker of her evil deeds yourself, 2 John verse 10 and 11, that is not preaching the original gospel, which always includes the command of God to repent. Recorded in Acts chapter 17 on Mars Hill, there was a dialogue that transpired with the Apostle Paul and many of the Epicureans and New Agers of his day, and we should behold and perhaps do a deeper dive in Acts chapter 17 and take a look at how this went down and what the elements of the gospel were that Paul declared to them. So Paul, when he answered some questions, he preached Christ and he called those men, they were equivalent to the New Agers of today, those who are steeped in humanistic worship of man in these colleges we have today. And so Paul called them to repent. And so if anyone is answering questions but not calling men to repent and follow Christ, they are not following the example and the pattern of Christ and his apostles and preaching the gospel of Christ. And yet we have Turning Point USA boasting of over 270,000 monthly supporters of a work that is not even the work of the gospel. That means no one is being saved or even convicted of their sins. That, my friends, is not the Great Commission Jesus mandated that his people fulfill. Jesus did not send us forth to win arguments, but rather to win souls. And that cannot happen if the gospel, beginning with the command to repent, is not being preached. Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. Not arguments, but winning souls. And that happens when the incorruptible seed of the Word of God is planted in the hearts of men. 1 Peter 1:23. In this last hour before Christ's return, God is calling his people to be active in teaching and preaching his word, and preaching and calling men to repentance sums up the Lord's Great Commission command to us, for which he is holding us 100% responsible and accountable to fully carry forth and obey, and for which we shall give full account. At the end of Matthew, we see Jesus calling his people to teach his word and to call men to repent. At the end of the book of Mark, we see where Jesus commands us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, which always begins with the command or includes the command to repent, okay? To turn to God, admitting you've sinned against him and receive Christ, putting your trust in him and following him to the end of your life. At the end of the book of Luke, as we recall that we looked at earlier, Jesus spoke of that repentance should be preached in all the world. Luke 24:47. Jesus died for our sins, for the sins of the whole world, so that repentance could be preached and souls could be saved into his glorious eternal kingdom family. He commanded that repentance be preached. No one can or will do this except his own people. No one can preach repentance except those who have repented and received Christ and been remitted of all their sins and thereby refreshed by the Lord, who are walking in the times of refreshing that only comes from the Lord and is appropriated by and beginning with repentance. The first word of the gospel is not believe, but it's repent. We just looked at that earlier, Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist. He preached repent. That was the first word out of his mouth. Jesus, the first word out of his mouth was to repent. And yet we've reduced the gospel to answering questions that are very obvious. In fact, the people asking them know the answers before they even ask them. We've reduced the gospel to somehow trying to convince people that God exists. Romans 1, if we just read Romans 1, we'd find that all men everywhere already know God exists. So this is a big waste of time, and it's a waste of the money of those who are given into those outreaches. Jesus gave the promise of the Father to his people to empower them in this mission to call people to repent. And it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Notice Luke chapter 24, 46 through 49. And Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. This is the same exact promise that John the Baptist gave to the body of Christ in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, where he foretold that the people of God would be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Notice, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, that's Christ, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So John the Baptist prophesied that Jesus shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And Jesus said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You shall be witnesses unto me. You will witness my gospel. I will empower you to preach repentance and remission of sins. This is the promise of the Father, for which he gives us the Holy Spirit to carry out, to empower us to do what he called us to do. Yet the professing church in America wants to restore America so that they can go back to living their lukewarm, hellbound lives, from which Jesus calls anyone who would be in that state to repent. Revelation 3, 15 and 16. They don't want to preach repentance, though. They don't want to truly repent themselves. And that's why they don't preach repentance, and they seek to restore America instead of obeying God and carrying out his kingdom commission. Beware of the prevalent false gospel, which is any variation from the original gospel given to us by our Lord on the pages of Holy Scripture. We are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints against this grace-perverting false gospel that we see ungodly men peddling today. Let me read Jude verse 3 and 4 again. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." And one of the ways, friends, that they turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness is they don't preach repentance. And so they are offering a false salvation, a counterfeit grace that allows men to sin and still remain in the salvation of Christ. They are turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, a license for sin. The Bible teaches that we are to repent and bring forth fruit meet for repentance. In fact, just today, we witnessed a man. He contacted me. We've been praying for him and ministering God's word to him for a long time, myself and others, and him and I have been dialoguing. He's been receiving the word of God. And this here, my friends, is a example of what happens when men are called to repent, to deny self, to take up the cross and truly follow Jesus. This man repented, and God, who sent his son Jesus Christ, did so in order to forgive the sins of men and to change their lives forever. And that's what happens when they repent. This dear brother has been having us lift him up in prayer for a long time now. Thank God that the body of Christ answered the call to pray for this man and to minister the unbridled, the unadulterated truth of God to him. We all know that God himself can break, only God can break us and separate us to himself and away from the sin that once gripped our lives. And this is what this man wrote today. He sent me a message and said, "Praise report, the Holy Spirit broke me down, and for the first time in 42 years, I've left nothing on the back burner." In other words, he completely surrendered. It's not Jesus and blank. It's not Jesus, but just Jesus. That's my salvation. That's the cross of my salvation. I am free indeed, he says. "Thank you, brother. I'm truly being made free for the first time in my life." He continues by saying, "I've been wasting years," he says, "holding on to temporary sin. No more, though. The Holy Spirit has been flowing, even today at work. Thanks again, brother. Pray for my strength and endurance. I preached it yesterday, and people gave up drugs and all sin afterwards." In other words, he preached repentance. "Jesus has been so good to me," he says. "I can never thank him enough for his life," unquote. What a blessed testimony. God is so good. And this brother repented. You know, Jesus said, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And the only way that men can receive this blessed brokenness and forgiveness of sins and deliverance from sin and Satan and the recovering of their sight is just like this man received it, by repenting and allowing the Lord to break us down. And how shall that take place, beloved, if his people, those that are called by his name, haven't freshly repented themselves and received the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and are therefore accomplishing the great commission of Christ with no compromise? They aren't answering questions that are obvious before they're ever asked. They're going forth and they're preaching that men have all sinned against God and must repent to appropriate the salvation of the Lord. Nothing good happens, beloved, until we get honest with the Lord ourselves, with his word, and truly repent. Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord come only to those who repent. And perhaps somebody listening needs a fresh start with God. And the only way that that's going to happen, the only way that blessing is going to be appropriated, is that you truly repent. I love Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, and chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Check it out. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 tells us this. Hosea 10, 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Also, Hosea 14, 1 and 2. O Israel, that's my people, he says, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Amen. Perhaps God's calling you, my friend, to turn to him in repentance. Take words of confession to him, inciting your sins against him. Notice Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, that is, those who claim to know the Lord, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Amen. Anybody who doesn't repent and relinquish all the sin in their lives will suffer eternal ruin. The only happy people on the earth, the only people that aren't miserable, are those who repent and are washed from all their sins and walk in the times of refreshing, which only come from the presence of the Lord. And the only way you and I can remain in the presence of the Lord is to admit, honestly admit, all sin and confess it for what it is. Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Those who try to hide their sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. And only those who get honest with God as we close are going to be washed of their sins and in the presence of the Lord, walk in this refreshing that comes only from the presence of the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 6 through 10. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's the only way to get rid of the devil, is get the sin out of your life by submitting yourself to God in repentance. And then and only then will you be able to resist the devil, and he will flee from you, because it's only the sin that you had in your life that gave him legal right to be in your life. Perhaps we could say this is the greatest warfare, spiritual warfare, scripture in all the Bible. When you submit yourself to God, you're able then to resist the devil on the authority of Jesus Christ, and he will flee from you. He has to. It's definitive. He will flee from you. Draw nigh, verse 8, to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. In other words, experience a time of weeping and mourning in the presence of God. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Okay, let's pray together, but let me say this first. first, friends. You know, I've seen repentance preached, true repentance, all the way down to the marrow of the bone, preaching of how wicked we are without Christ. And like Paul said, Lord, there's no good thing that dwelleth in me. Amen. Oh, wretched man that I am, he says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans 7:18, Romans 7:24. We should be given to understand that the beginning of our victory begins with announcing our own poverty. Let me say that again. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit are those who realize that without Christ and outside of Christ, they are nothing but filthy rags, all of their righteousnesses. They admit, like Paul, that there's nothing good that dwells in them. They come to real repentance, and they put all their faith in Christ. This is how men get saved. This is how men get washed, refreshed, and delivered, right here, friends. And I've seen so many people that when this message is preached to them, then when their sin is called out, when it's called out from Scripture and shown to them, and then repentance is preached, you get people that really get saved. And the fruit of their life is unmistakable, that God has changed them, has made them, has regenerated them, has made them a new creature in Christ. Old things are now passed away, and all things are now become of God. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's pray together, friends. Father in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, admitting that I have been living for my own evil glory. I've committed the sin of idolatry, having myself first instead of you. I admit here and now before you, dear Heavenly Father, that I have been committing the damning sin of spiritual adultery. Right now, if never before, I repent. I turn fully to you, Father, and ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to forgive all my sins here and now, and to wash me afresh from all my sins, O God, in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Into your hands I commend, I release, I submit my spirit, my life, right now, this moment. As you, dear Lord, fill me, I ask you, fill me with your Holy Ghost, and use me to preach your glorious message of repentance to those around me so that they can receive the forgiveness of sins and walk in the times of refreshing from your holy presence, dear Lord. I love you, Jesus. I am all yours, and you're all mine from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all Scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.